And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Higher Dimensions. I'm your hostess for this evening. I'm Phyllis Pricer. And tonight we have a guest we've had before, a lovely lady, Dr. Nancy Barak. Nancy is a psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, and a survivor of
muscular dystrophy.
Muscular dystrophy, right. Okay, and she's written a book about it. But we're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight, I think, besides the book, though that is a wonderful thing to do because she and I were discussing hypnosis and hypnobirthing and talking about the use of hypnosis in many modalities and forms of life that help us to get through the day and through our lives and for healing purposes. So, Nancy, welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much, Phyllis. It's great to be talking with you again.
Well, thank you. I'm
it's always such a
loving
pleasure.
To have it. You are also a dancing hypnotist, as far as I can see.
A what, sorry?
The dancing hypnotist.
I am. I am the dancing hypnotherapist.
Tell the people a little bit about your background. You had that amazing healing through the auspices of a dear friend of ours, Patty Conklin.
Yes, I did. I was born with a diagnosis. Well, I was born with muscular dystrophy. I found a diagnosis many years later. And the result of this was that I used a wheelchair scooter. I believe I may have met you at that time. I'm not sure. And was not able to do many, many of the things that most people could physically do. I used to do the things that a mother does, but in a seated position. In other words, I did take my children places, but we took the scooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working as a hypnotherapist, and in 2003, I decided, after knowing Patty Conklin for many years, to ask her to use her cellular cleansing process,
mm-hmm.
which we did do, and 4 days later, the scooter was in the garage and I was in the mall.
On 2 feet.
On 2 feet.
You're
having
two
a wonderful
feet.
Time.
That's fabulous.
So that's been now 5 years. Actually, it's 5 years yesterday.
Isn't that fantastic? What a synchronicity to have you on at such an auspicious occasion.
Yes. It's been really wonderful. In the past 5 years, I have traveled, done all kinds of things on 2 feet, and become a competitive ballroom dancer,
mm-hmm.
which is now my hobby and my passion and much more fun than rolling around in a wheelchair.
Absolutely. I know that, and I have seen her dance, ladies and gentlemen, and she does do a wonderful job.
Why, thank you. I have a good time.
Oh, yes. It is absolutely phenomenal. Now, the other thing is that what led you into the field of hypnosis and hypnotherapy?
Well, I had been working as a therapist and a behavioral therapist,
mm-hmm.
and I had mostly worked with people with developmental disabilities who were doing things that were detrimental to their lives, either by restricting their freedom because they couldn't necessarily be trusted to behave themselves, or in some cases, actually hitting people.
What?
I've worked with many people who were striking others, including their grandmothers.
Oh, my dear.
Yes, it wasn't very nice for them, and they didn't mean to be doing it. They didn't have another way of expressing
themselves.
Their needs.
Okay.
So I became pretty good at figuring out what people were trying to say by their behavior. I didn't know I was an intuitive.
Right.
I just thought, geez, anyone could figure that one out.
Yeah, exactly.
But no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knew hitting grandma means I need a sandwich?
Right. Yeah, I know there's a language. You develop a communication. A form
exactly.
of communication.
And it was becoming more dangerous for me to do this work.
Oh, really?
Because of my physical deterioration.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't duck as well as I used to, Phyllis.
You're not as fast on the old pins, huh?
I was, no, not at all. I was not ducking well.
Okay.
And I saw a brochure for a basic hypnosis class, and I thought, wow, this is a weekend class. I could learn a little bit. So I went to this class, and I discovered that hypnosis was really interesting, and that the founder, the father of modern hypnotherapy, mm-hmm. Dr. Milton Erickson, right. was himself a wheelchair user.
Uh-huh.
And arrogance being what it is, I thought, if he can do it, I can do it.
Okay.
And so then I went back to school and actually studied and learned, because I don't think a weekend class is enough to actually
like
work
it.
With people.
Not.
It was enough to get a taste to see if I wanted to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my experience, I had been going to I went to see a therapist because I had some issues arising from trauma. And I was referred, and I looked specifically for one who was a hypnotherapist because I thought I'd undergone therapy before, okay, traditional mm-hmm. therapy, and it didn't touch the area that I thought I needed to. And I was also growing more spiritually, and so I wanted someone who would be able to help me go deeper, mm-hmm. you know, and not just sit there and have me stare at my toenails for a while when I ran out of things to say, right?
Right. Well,
so I was referred to this lady, who was a very nice lady, psychotherapist, and she said yes, she could hypnotize people. Well, and she had taken a weekend course. Okay, and so she considered it a part of her practice. She couldn't hypnotize me. Now, you know me well enough to know that I'm fairly easy to hypnotize.
You're very easy.
Oh, don't. I've had dates say that, but it doesn't really mean anything.
No, what I should say is you are intelligent enough to choose to go into hypnosis when it's of your benefit.
Absolutely. But the thing is, she couldn't, and I didn't know why, and I'm not sure why. I think it's perhaps because she didn't really believe in it herself.
That's okay. Probably true. You have to
believe in what you're doing.
Really, or you're going
opinion.
To impart the idea that this is silly to your
yeah.
client.
When I first went to study it myself with Alan Chips, we had to read, it was before he had his own book out, we had to read this large tome, and 235 pages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can read something like that in almost a day. Well, I'd pick it up, and I started to read the foreword, and I'd read a couple of paragraphs, and then I'd go to sleep, you know. And I tried, like heck, 2 weeks beforehand. And the day that I went there, I went to him and I said, I do apologize. I don't know what the problem is. I try to read it and I simply fall asleep. And I do apologize. I don't think it's because it's boring, but I'm so embarrassed because I don't feel I'm prepared for the class, but I haven't read the book as required. And he grinned. He said, you're easy. As I told you, people have told me I'm easy. And he said, well, how far do you get? I said, well, I'm in the foreword, you know, page 3. And he took me down immediately. He hypnotized me then and there, gave the suggestion that I would never again go to sleep when I had to read a book on hypnosis, and brought me back. And that night I finished the 235 pages.
Yep, it works.
Yeah, I was putting myself to sleep, he said.
You were going into hypnosis.
Using the foreword, right.
Using the foreword of the book. Well, my first instructor used to say that a good hypnotherapist could use the Gettysburg Address.
Absolutely.
I don't.
Or the pages, or the phone book, or whatever. Anything.
Right.
But the thing is, we have to all let people know also that you, in actual fact, put yourself under.
Absolutely. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis.
Exactly. And
if you don't want to go into hypnosis, I can sing, dance, turn somersaults. We
mm-hmm.
might as well just go play checkers.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
not going to go if you don't want to. In fact, there have only been two people in my 13 years of practice who have not gone into hypnosis. One didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
The other one had such brain disorder from alcoholism that speaking in a complete sentence was no longer a possibility.
In other words, they didn't have the focus that it was
They
necessary.
Didn't have it, no.
I
if you're intelligent, you can yeah. speak in a full sentence. You're a good hypnotic subject.
Well, I recently had a client that I could not get to go under, and I realized that, and the person wanted very much to go under to find out some underlying trauma, but she was so uptight that the best that I could help her do was to go to some relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
she was that upside. Her whole body jerked and twisted. She'd start to go down, and then she'd jerk and twist.
Right.
Almost spasmodically.
I've seen that. Would you like a little advice?
Sure.
Put the hypnotic induction, do it anyway, put it on a tape or a CD, have them use it at home in a safe environment.
Yeah,
and
I practice
going into relaxation.
Yes,
so they'll know
that
it's safe.
She never came back.
Ah.
She didn't want to come back. She was hoping to have a big revelation, and I told her that was not likely until she felt more comfortable.
That's true. That's very true.
That she was expecting too much the first time around. And she tried.
Some people have these big revelations, but you've got to be willing to relax and allow the process.
Yeah. And she was also undernourished. She was malnourished. One of the few people I've seen in this country that is truly malnourished.
Mm.
And that from stress. So.
And that all working together makes it very difficult for the person to focus.
Exactly. She could not relax and rest. And I just, as I said, towards the end, I just said simply, why don't we just work for relaxation and then have you, you know, come back another time. But she wanted instant success, and she was going from person to person trying to find, an immediate...
Somebody to fix her without her doing the work.
Basically.
And that is not what we do. You're right.
And without preparation, I simply told her ahead of time, and I said, your soul will now provide any information that you are not ready to handle.
Mm-hmm. But this is all true.
This is all very true. Yes. So working with people is important. Now, I let people know that there are some perfectly smashing things that we can do with hypnosis, including lower blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Fire up the imagination, improve athletic skills, improve study habits. It's a whole wonderful, wonderful smorgasbord of things that can be done. But these are all capabilities that I feel we all have.
Absolutely.
And we just uncover them and allow what's already in us to come to the fore.
This is absolutely true. And sometimes it's also, by our phrasing it, in a different way than the person had thought of it before, they just kind of go, oh, yeah.
What I call the dumb moment.
The dumb moment, yeah. I call it I could have had a V8.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about dumb moments before.
Well, I live with dumb moments, you know. I live for dumb moments sometimes, you know. The light comes dawning at the crack of. Part of what have you seen, if anything, in your years of practice, have you seen things change in that people are more interesting to explore, to open up? Have you noticed any kind of a trend that has to do with where we're moving in time and space?
Yeah.
Towards the, with changing energies, et cetera?
I think so, and I think... more and more people are more and more open to the fact that their unconscious mind holds the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that they know. They just don't know that they know.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people are bringing their children for hypnosis so that they can handle their own issues.
Now, that's interesting, really.
I'm seeing many, many young people.
Okay.
Very seldom anymore do I get the reaction I actually got today from a gentleman. I was wearing my hypnobirthing T-shirt when I was out shopping.
Uh-huh.
And a gentleman in one of the stores said, ooh, hypnosis, though. like, ooh, that's not a good thing.
What did he expect you to do, turn into the Wicked Witch of the West in front of him or what?
I don't know. Maybe make him cluck like a chicken? Quack like a duck?
Well, you could have asked him if that's what he'd like.
Yeah, but he was at work. He was working at BJ's, and I didn't think he really wanted to do that.
Well, darn. There are those stick-in-the-muds who have to be serious all the time.
I know. But I am really seeing more, and I'm seeing older people also.
Now, that's good.
I'm seeing a lot more older folks who I mean, I'm seeing people of all ages, but I'm seeing a lot more older folks who are saying, you know, at my age, I know there's no quick fix. I know, you know, my doctor's not going to pop me a pill and this problem or that problem will go away.
Exactly.
I know I need to do it, and I sort of applaud silently.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not so silently.
Yeah, well, we all need a pat on the back now and again.
Mm-hmm. Give them an attaboy or an attagirl and
yes.
say, you're right. Because they are right. These are intelligent people.
And I think most people just, again, I have been working just on one level with friends when they keep saying, well, I'm stupid or I can't do this. And I look at them and say, no, you're not stupid. And yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I say, why do you choose to give yourself that message?
And well, they say, well, in the past, I said in the past it's dead and over with. So in the future, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And again, what we do, I think, in hypnosis, if you can tell, to share with the people, what we do is help you to reprogram yourself, if I'm not mistaken, yes?
Absolutely. Your unconscious mind holds all of the answers. It just needs to be asked, and sometimes we need a little help to ask it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you and I are there for.
Right.
I always used to tell people, I cannot make you do anything.
Exactly.
I can help you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell folks when my kids were still young and at
mm-hmm.
home, I can't hypnotize my kids to clean their room.
Boy, if we could.
For that. Because they don't want to.
Man, if I'd known about hypnosis back then, I would have really tried.
Oh, I know,
no
but it wouldn't have gotten
how I would have tried.
Let's face it, Phyllis. Let's face it. If you and I and all hypnotherapists
yeah.
could make people do what they didn't want to do, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. We'd be in the prisons as each person came in, we'd be going, behave yourself, behave yourself, behave yourself. And collecting one day's imprisonment cost for each one, and we'd be rolling in money.
Actually, I'd say we rule the world, baby. What do you mean?
It doesn't work that way.
You just said that I'm going to rule the world in a palace.
You know, I'm not sure I want all that power.
Oh,
I'm pretty happy being just me.
I think it would be fun to go out and just blow some people's minds. I mean, you know, I get bored sitting by myself sometimes, and I think of things to do.
It doesn't work that way.
Huh?
It just doesn't work that way.
I know. But it would be nice if we could, you know, we could have instant peace, right?
Right. Unfortunately, or fortunately in most cases,
yeah.
people have free will.
Yeah, but it would still be nice to have a day of peace.
I would love a day of peace. I'll sign up for many, many days of peace.
Right. You know, we can all do with a day of peace. But it's a matter of fact is working towards what we want is also very important.
It really is.
But we can substantially change our lives and the way things are heading. If we don't like it, we know we can change it.
We absolutely can. We make the choice. An example I often give people is, have you ever had a test or an important project due or something like that, and you've got a cold coming on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can hold off that cold until you're done.
That's right.
Your unconscious mind can control
Absolutely.
Your body's response to a virus.
Right.
Now, because it's a virus, it's probably going to get you in the end.
Right.
But you can decide that I don't have a cold until Sunday.
Or you can simply say it's going to be mild or neutralized or, you know.
Right. You have control over what it does.
And people don't think that. They immediately think, well, I got to go surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. You really don't.
Nope. Of course, if you've got nothing better to do, you might do just that. But if you've really got something important, because
mm-hmm.
it takes your focus to do it.
Well, you know, have you ever heard someone say, I'm too busy to get sick?
Yep.
And they don't get sick?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes something comes along and they have downtime and all of a sudden they get sick?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They have, and not realizing it, they have indeed staved off their illness.
And
because
they've told
they ate
their body what's acceptable.
Yes. And so as soon as they have downtime, their body says, now it's okay to get sick. Okay, now it can get sick. And we don't realize we've programmed ourselves to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you stop and think, now why would I have done that to myself?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you don't have to take what you get. You have choice. People don't know they have choice, though, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a failing on their part.
No, and it's wonderful, too, to know that if once you get that in your mind, if you really do, this is part of creating your own reality, isn't it? When you
mm-hmm.
are able to start reprogramming and adjusting and tweaking, and you like this, you can do this. If you don't like it, you can always alter it and change it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And after all, perception is pretty much 90% of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So, we also talked about hypnobirthing, which I just love.
The Mongan method, hypnobirthing.
Yes, yes. Let's talk a little bit. You go ahead and talk a little bit about that, because that is something that I think is very important, and I think it's something that is really moving forward these days, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Marie Mongan, who wrote the hypnobirthing book and founded hypnobirthing, and it is copyrighted, no one else can call their program hypnobirthing,
mm-hmm.
is a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she discovered that women can relax their bodies and minds enough to birth easily and much, much more comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Most hypnobirthing mothers' births are a fraction of the amount of time that your standard American birth takes. I think I read somewhere that the standard American birth process, labor and birthing, right now is something like 12 to 24 hours.
Oi!
And most hypnobirthings come between 3 and 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I know which one I'd prefer.
I know which one I'd prefer.
And our births are so wonderful and so comfortable and so much healthier for mother and baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And, of course, because mothers are comfortable, much more comfortable, they don't require drugs, which means the babies aren't getting drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell the mothers who are not sure they want to do without the epidural, why anyone would want it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I tell mothers is, if you're comfortable, who wants a great big needle in your back?
That's true.
I'm not saying it's not there, and I'm not saying that if somebody were having a great deal of discomfort from something, it wouldn't be a fine thing, but
mm-hmm.
it's not really necessary in most births.
That's very true.
And it's there for the few people that it is necessary for.
Exactly.
But if you're comfortable, why do you want to get a needle in your back?
Well, I personally wouldn't. I wish I'd known about hypnobirthing when I was having my children, because I would have been one of those who took it.
Oh, I would too. It was not yet devised. The oldest hypnobirthing baby, Kyle, who is Marie Mongan's grandson,
mm-hmm.
has just turned, I believe, 18.
Hmm.
Happy birthday, Kyle.
Yeah.
And my youngest child is 26, so I missed that boat.
I missed that boat too. Mine is... My youngest is just, it will be 26 on Sunday. No, yes, 26 on Sunday. She
Happy
will.
Birthday.
Yeah, and my son is going to be 43 on Wednesday.
My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday again.
Yeah, they're moving up there, aren't they?
I know.
And I'm not that old. I don't know who gave birth to them, but I raised them.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened.
I personally don't either.
I'm so young still. I tell people.
Yes.
I just turned 49 years old.
Okay.
I am healthier and thinner than I was at 39 and at 29. I weigh what I did at 19.
Isn't that wonderful?
And I'm probably healthier than I was at 19.
Well, yeah. I was with what you've gone through, I think that's fabulous.
Which makes the dancing a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. My parents used to do ballroom dancing, so... And way back when, they'd go out on dates. I remember them going on dates when I was a little kid. And,
what fun!
Oh, yeah, they'd go out, and my dad would dance me around, and my mom taught me ballroom dancing, and they'd go and win prizes. This was after World War II, when it was still a popular thing to go out and dance and
mm-hmm.
have a lot
back.
Of fun, you know?
It's coming back with a vengeance.
I am glad to hear that, because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
I love Dancing with the Stars.
Do you? I don't watch it because I'd rather be dancing myself, personally.
Well, I do watch it, and this time I have a personal connection to it.
You do? Who?
One of the contestants, Marissa Jarrett Winoker, is the much younger sister of a man I went to high school with.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that cool?
So vote for Marissa.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
She's delightful.
Oh, that's lovely.
She's a Broadway actress, and she's absolutely beautiful and real-looking and quite talented.
Oh, lovely. Well, now we know somebody, you know, that you can really equate with.
I think so. I think so, and I think she's wonderful.
Well, what is your opinion about where things are heading these days in the complementary field with hypnosis and these other, and do you use any other methods?
I do the Conklin method, cellular cleansing.
Okay.
And other intuitive work, and I do some Reiki.
Okay.
I think things are heading into mostly very, very good areas. I do think we need to make sure that we keep up our education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to understand our role as practitioners, which is that we aren't in charge. The client and the client's body are in charge.
Yes.
And I think as long as we are respectful of all modalities, I don't think we're going to have a huge issue with modern medicine, because there are times that modern medicine is exactly what is
needed. Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that, too. The reason why I look at it as complementary therapies.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay, and that's important. Some people want to go one or the other with that kind of thought, and I disagree. I think it's important to have every modality at your hand.
I agree.
All healing comes from God or spirit, and every method that brings about healing is valid, or it would not have been invented.
Exactly. Every method is valid, or it would have fallen by the wayside,
mm-hmm.
as some things have in the past,
mm-hmm.
things that didn't work for anybody. Everything works for some people in some situations. The trick is to find the one that's working best for you in your situation.
I think that's what very many people have a hard time understanding.
One size fits all.
But that's what people want. I mean, that's what modern science keeps bleating about, that, you know, everybody can take this pill and it'll cure them forever, from everything, from acne to xenophobia, as I call it.
Yes.
You know? And one size does not fill all at all times.
As we are discovering, there are ethnic differences, there are gender differences, there are age differences.
I think alternative therapies, though, are less likely to have. I have never found really gender differences with complementary therapies.
No, I was talking about drugs, but you're.
Oh, drugs? Oh, you bet.
But you're absolutely right. Now there are, in terms of using, say, hypnosis with someone. The reason there aren't those differences is that we don't use one-size-fits-all processes.
True.
In other words, we sit down and we talk with the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that individual and nothing else, a good hypnotherapist works with the person.
Right.
The person who has the situation. Sometimes online on the different hypnotherapy chats,
mm-hmm.
people want to say that this, you know, oh, I'm working with someone who has X.
Yeah.
First of all, that person isn't your patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I have I'm treating lupus. No, you're not. We don't do that. You are working with someone who has a diagnosis of, for example, lupus.
Right.
But you can't just sit there and say, well, lupus is related to this, and therefore it's this chakra and this and this and this. Because, well, my feeling, my belief, and what I write and teach is that the molecules of emotion, the peptides that are created by our emotions, affect each of us differently, and that's why the same event may create different ailments in different people.
Yes.
And we're dealing with the emotion, the
right.
event. We're kind of cutting to the chase.
Right.
Although I do also work with people with their symptoms, because if someone's in so much pain they can't focus, we need to work with reducing the pain before
exactly.
we can get to anything else.
Exactly.
And I think that's a very important thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it's really, really important.
Well, yeah, I had been talking with another, a friend of mine, Bob, and he sent me an interesting blog. Somebody had one on the hypnotherapy blogs asked about smoking cessation, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What about doing a group? Is that successful? And what was the response was, well, there are basically two kinds of people. Those who are the skeptics
mm-hmm.
and who are analytical, and those who are willing to accept and go forward with it. And he said, and when you do a group, he said, you'll find that those who are open and not analytical
mm-hmm.
and judgmental will very well profit from group hypnosis for smoking cessation.
And the other thing I would add is those who are ready.
Yeah, and those who are not will not benefit that way, or it will only be a very temporary blend.
Right. Well, the statistics are that the groups are successful with about 60% of people.
Mm-hmm.
Individual hypnotherapy, I have heard statistics as high as 95% for smoking cessation.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know that in my office, most of the people who come to quit smoking do so.
Yeah. I have to agree. I've had that, too. I've had people being able to stop after one session.
Mostly.
But as I said, I prefer them to come for several to reinforce it.
Right. I have three.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to do. But some of them say, well, I don't need to come back. And that's why I started saying, well, you'll have to pay me for all three sessions up front. Because then you have an incentive for coming back.
That's exactly right. And if they have quit smoking after one session, I allow my clients to keep the other two sessions in their pocket for anything else they want as long as I'm in practice.
Okay.
Because they've paid for them.
And I would allow that, except that, so far I haven't had that issue. They have come.
Right.
But
it doesn't come up much, and to be honest, mostly they don't use them, but they are entitled to them, and I would willingly have them.
Yes.
And I do want them to come for at least a second session.
Well, yes, I told them it's like anything else. Why would you take one pill for a course of antibiotics? Does it make sense that if you're sick, you take one pill and that'd be the end of it? And they say, no. And I say, well, what makes you think after years of doing something like this repetitively, you could be over it? And they kind of look at, oh, yeah. It's like alternative medicine, including hypnosis. It's sort of like the good fairy's wand.
Yes.
And well, I still don't quite understand the concept that because it's alternative therapy, you know, one dose ought to do you.
Often it does. I mean, very, very often. One session is all a person needs.
Well, I don't necessarily mean by smoking, but I mean about anything.
I think it's certainly reasonable, and sometimes what I will say to people is very often this is a one-session deal, but if you want to come back, you can always make another appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people come back for other things.
Well, yes, I know. But as I said, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the disconnect between.
No, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because, except that hypnosis sometimes is a one session.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. For fears and phobias, absolutely.
For many, many things.
Yeah, well, yes, I know many things, but I'm just saying in particular for that.
Fears, phobias, habits.
Yeah.
So many different things are just people come for one session and then they get on with their lives.
Right.
And that's perfect. In fact, I've just started doing something that allows people to do that even more easily.
Uh-huh.
People can now go to my website and book a 30-minute phone intuitive counseling and affirmation session.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do hypnosis over the phone because I want to be in the same room as somebody.
Right.
When I'm doing hypnosis. I know some therapists don't feel that way, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a higher level of care for
mm-hmm.
the person. But they can book a 30-minute intuitive counseling and affirmation session.
Right.
affirmations and or imagery by going, as I said, to my website and booking it.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also a good positive sign as well. I've worked with some people on the phone, you know, talking with them, and it seems to help.
Oh, it does. It definitely does. And, of course, then they can come in for a session or a cellular cleansing if they desire.
Exactly. And
it
gives them an idea of what it's like. But I also, as you say, like to see people face on.
When I'm doing hypnosis, I do.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that they are comfortable. I want to watch them go into relaxation and out. I want to provide that higher level of care.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but that's how I feel.
Well, you know, everyone has their own way of doing things, and I
mm-hmm.
think that's a fabulous concept. And working with other people is really... I like the one-on-one connection personally, although, as I said, I've worked with people over the phone from time to time.
Right, well, sometimes it's not avoidable.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually started instituting that because I can't be everywhere at once.
Well, that's wonderful. And speaking of that, why don't you let people know what your website is?
Sure. It's www. Dot, and I'm going to spell it out, D-O-C-T-O-R. NANCIE.com.
Mm-hmm.
The IE is very important because Dr. Nancy with a Y is an internist in Kentucky. She really is. She looks very nice. She's a holistic internist.
Uh-huh.
But she's in Kentucky.
Uh-huh. So
and
it's
she
not
isn't
you.
Me. You won't reach me through her. So it's Dr. Nancy, all spelled out with Nancy with an IE.
Okay.
.com.
That's wonderful. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody wants to call in and ask questions about hypnosis or what it can do for you, feel free. This is a wonderful opportunity to ask questions. Some people, I think, still are concerned about talking or doing things or saying things that they don't want seen in public, and that they still have the stage hypnosis concept of what hypnotherapy is. And I really tell them, you know, I seldom make people cluck like chickens.
No, only at parties.
Only at parties, right.
No, you know, I haven't made anyone cluck for years.
I don't know that I ever have. It just
no,
never
I haven't
occurred to me.
Actually either. I was joking.
I know. I was just going to say, but I've never had because it never occurred to me.
No.
I was too interested in doing other stuff.
However, if you want to cluck, we can help you.
Well, yes, certainly. You can be the best clucker in the entire patch.
The question, although I would have to ask why you want to do that. My
well,
curiosity would get the better
look,
of me.
Hey, there are hog calling contests.
This is true. I guess it would be a chicken sounding contest.
Yeah, why not? No, that's a not. No, I don't think I want to go there.
No,
I'm
no
getting
although
visions
one of our
of,
wonderful colleagues.
I'm getting visions of barnyard animal.
Scary.
Gravity. I just
one
want
of our
to avoid
wonderful
that one.
Colleagues,
yeah.
Shelley Stockwell Nicholas, out in California,
uh-huh.
is quite famous for hypnotizing chickens.
Really?
She is. She hypnotized something like 95 chickens or something on a radio show in the Midwest somewhere.
And the purpose was?
I don't know, but somebody asked her to do it, and the next thing she knew... There were chicken wranglers and people bringing in chickens, and she was in a parking lot full of chickens.
Oh, my God.
Let's just say she's had a little trouble living it down. People still give her rubber chickens. But did you know it's very easy to hypnotize a chicken?
Well, I never considered hypnotizing one because it never occurred to me that they would be a potential client base.
No, but Shelley told me all you do is you draw a line on the ground.
Yes.
And basically straighten out their neck and put their nose on the line, and they go down.
Really?
Yeah, I've never done it. I have no desire to hypnotize a chicken.
I'm trying to think, what would be the benefit?
I don't know, but I wish I had seen this show.
I think we'll pass on the chicken hypnosis, folks. I mean, don't even bother calling on that one.
No. Are there people calling? I hope I'd love to talk with folks.
Well, sometimes people can get through. Sometimes they have a hard time getting through.
Oh.
I don't know why it is. And then some people like to listen so much that they don't call because they don't want to miss anything. Or at least that's what I've been told.
Y'all are quiet out there tonight.
They sure are. Usually we get at least somebody call and breathe on the phone so we know you're out there. But if not, that's okay.
They're out there.
I know they're out there somewhere. They keep telling me they are. Every once in a while, somebody calls and says, I listen to you all the time. I said, well, could you verbalize that? Okay, that's all right. Well, I love you anyway, no matter what.
That's right.
But the fascinating thing is that what we are trying to do now is bring hypnosis more into the mainstream. And I think with the Mangum method, more physicians are allowing people to use hypnosis for birthing procedures.
Right, and of course, it's not up to the doctor.
Exactly.
What the mother chooses to do to give birth to her baby is her choice, how she chooses to relax her body.
And most people don't realize that it's your choice, not the physician's choice.
It's your birth. It's your birthing energy. And one of the things we do, of course, as you know, as a Mangum method hypnobirthing instructor, is we talk about changing the language.
Exactly.
And one of the changes is the word deliver.
Right.
Doctors do not deliver babies. UPS delivers. Pizza guy delivers. Mothers birth babies. I encourage the women I work with to put the locus of control where it belongs.
Right.
They are in control. And I tell the story that my father grew up in the West End of Boston in tenements.
Uh-huh.
And he thought the doctor did deliver the babies because the doctor would go up with his big bag, and when he'd come down, there'd be a baby up there.
And he thought the baby was delivered in the bag.
He was four.
Okay.
Makes perfect sense when you're four.
Yeah.
What else would a doctor bring in a bag that big?
Exactly.
And then there'd be, you know, Mrs. Who's-It's on the next floor up has a baby in the house.
Right. The doctor delivered it.
Well, like a pizza, right?
Oh, yeah. I love that image. That's a perfect image.
But the truth of the matter is mothers give birth to babies.
Right. And taking back the power of birthing is also something that has been fought somewhat by the established medical group.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm not trying to tar all doctors with the same
brush. Oh, no, of course not.
There are many, many, many wonderful OBs and midwives and practitioners of all sorts out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the establishment tends to see birth as a medical incident, which it isn't.
No, it's not. It's rather natural, and it's been going along a lot longer than there has been medical practices.
I tell people, we were all born. Every human who's ever been on this planet was born.
Precisely.
You know, we were all born, and birth is what happens. It's natural. And you know the old joke, if your mother didn't have any children, chances are you won't either.
I never heard that, but okay.
And, you know, I think of my great-grandmother having all her babies, or...
Certainly.
You know, even before her. Going back into other countries and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure babies were born at home.
Oh, they were.
And babies can be born anywhere.
Well, they have been born any and every place, including on highways and byways and in parking lots and wherever they decide now is the time to pop out.
And 9 times out of 10 or more, they're perfectly fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Birth is a natural process.
I wanted to bring you to something that a friend of mine had sent me. It's a news clipping. Oh, about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe six, much as 6 months now, there was a birth in Iran by cesarean section using only hypnosis.
I've heard about that. Yes, someone told me about that.
I find that absolutely fascinating.
Oh, there's much surgery using only hypnosis. And many people choose to do that with a qualified, medically trained hypnosis anesthesiology person.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, someone who is skilled and practiced
mm-hmm.
at using hypnosis to bring a person deeply, deeply, deeply enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, we don't use that level of depth for most things that we do.
No, well, it's not necessary.
It's not necessary, and because they're so deep, they can barely hear you.
Right.
Doing other forms of... doing therapy that way would be fairly ineffective.
Yes.
And I have just been joined by my blind cat.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Who has decided that our voices sound very interesting.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize, too, that there are many dentists who have been trained.
Dental is one of the very popular things that hypnosis can be used for. And, of course, one of the reasons it's so effective is there's so much fear of dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
Dentistry is actually kind of an intimate thing in that someone is working inside the boundaries of your body.
Right, exactly.
And for a lot of people, that can be very fear-inducing. And, of course, using hypnosis to alleviate that fear
mm-hmm.
and, again, relax deeply enough that there's no discomfort,
mm-hmm.
it works very, very well.
Well, I tend to agree with you there. I used hypnosis the last time I went to my dentist, and he did not need to use as much. I used self-hypnosis. He said he had attended a seminar years ago, you know, one of these 2 or 3 day things. But, you know, I keep telling him, when you have somebody who has a great fear of dentistry, it's better to have them go through a relaxation technique so that
mm-hmm.
they can relax and do the work. I mean, it's
right.
It's awful to have this tremendous fear.
That's
but
right.
He said he doesn't use it much because he relies more on, you know, injections. But that's
right.
his method.
Well, I think there's room for a combination because
exactly.
if the person is less fearful, well, that's just good for everyone, and I think it would be better for dentists' mental health, because I read a study in which dentists were shown to be the profession with the highest suicide rate because nobody likes them.
I would have thought it was, I thought it was psychiatrists. The last one I read, it was psychiatrists.
Maybe
was,
they've edged them out, but for a long time it
maybe
was.
Maybe they edged them out.
And I have to admit, every time I go to the dentist, I think of that, and I'm extremely nice to my dentist.
Well, there is that, and I prefer to use it. I mean, I've used self-hypnosis when I've had some surgery recently, and one of the doctors said, tried to quiz me on something, and I told him what he had to say. He says, no, we didn't talk about that, and I looked at him and said, you lie like a rug.
Mm-hmm.
I know enough about myself and hypnosis to know what you talked about, because what he was talking about was buying a vacation home and how much it would cost and so forth and so on. And you see, he's not supposed to be talking like that when he's working on your eye.
No, he's supposed to be focused on your eye.
Yeah, right, and he wasn't. So he denied it.
Oh, you caught him out.
Oh, yeah, you know. But they were all really, really concerned about it, and I said, you know, I just as soon not use as much anesthesia because it takes so long for the body, sometimes years, and people don't understand that. Very often people will die or become very ill because of the anesthesia in the body, not from anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can use less anesthesia, your body has less chance to react to it in a negative fashion.
That's true. I mean, my thought is medications and drugs are there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. On an anesthesia basis,
we can
if
we can optimize their working,
mm-hmm.
then we don't need as much and everybody's happy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, except maybe the drug people.
Well, that's their problem.
Well, yeah, sounds like a professional problem to me.
Yeah. Well, they can't bottle what we do.
No, they can't. Although they are trying to use machines these days. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a virtual machine.
Oh, I hate those, and I'll tell you why.
They're dangerous. They desensitize people from war zones.
Oh, I thought you meant the... for the hypnosis, like the
it is, yes,
headphones and eye things with flashing lights.
No, they're using like a virtual reality to take people over the trauma they've been in war.
Oh, well, that's different. I don't hate those at all. I was thinking of there are some people who, to induce hypnosis, use glasses with flashing lights.
Oh, yes, strobe light type things, yes.
Those are extremely dangerous.
Ah, why?
Because if a person has any neurological issue that they may not even be aware of, it can induce a seizure.
Okay.
When I used to have a neuromuscular disease, muscular dystrophy, mm-hmm. I tried one of those for about 1 minute at a hypnosis conference, and I was nauseous for the rest of the day.
Wow.
So because we are not medical doctors and can't do anything about a seizure if it happens,
right.
And because it's unnecessary, mm-hmm. I don't see the point of the risk.
Well, why do you think that it's good to use a machine to try and to desensitize people from trauma?
I don't think it's particularly good. I don't know enough about it to say it's bad.
Because I read an article on it that the Army's trying to try to use these instead of therapists or hypnotherapists.
I think using real-life warm therapists would be better.
Yes.
Because one thing I think soldiers returning from a war zone need is the human contact.
Mm-hmm, I am, but they say that it helps them to be desensitized from the emotional trauma of it. But
it doesn't make sense to me, but I don't know enough of it, enough about it to say for sure that it's bad or good
or indifferent or whatever.
But it seems to me that if I were returning from a war zone, I would want a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Because what comes up for, you know, Soldier Jones is going to be different from what comes up for Soldier Smith.
Right.
And they need a human being who can react.
Exactly.
They're not cookie cutters.
And I think that's what they all, this is again the science trying to find a wholesale solution to
a mechanical solution.
Oh, mechanical solution, yes.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, they're still trying to figure it out. They're still trying to make human beings into machines rather than people, I think, at times, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you know what? We are not a machine.
Well, it wasn't the last time I looked, but then I could go check again just to be sure.
I'm not bionic, are you?
Nah, my kids just thought I was.
Oh, yeah. I was perfect. I knew everything.
Oh, absolutely. Now they know everything.
Well, you know, we knew everything until they were teenagers. Then we were completely stupid.
Stupid. And now we're intelligent again.
Once they hit their 20s, we're intelligent again.
Isn't it wonderful how smart you get?
I know.
As they get older?
A few years.
Yeah, it's amazing. You must have gone to college on the fly when they weren't looking.
I don't know. I think I took my smart pills.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, well, aren't you the clever lady?
I don't know. Yes, no, I knew nothing for a few years.
Uh-huh.
According to my adolescence.
Okay.
But now that they are 27 and 26, I seem to have a brain firmly planted in my head again.
Yeah, I've always wondered about how smart I got while they were growing up and away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what you can do if you really put your mind to it.
Yeah.
What I was hoping is that you could tell us a little bit more about you, and then we're going to have to cut off soon, but I want to get you an opportunity to, again, to talk a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Oh, my favorite subject.
Okay. We all have that kind of favorite subject. Go for it.
Well, I'm a hypnotherapist, like you said. I
uh-huh.
Practice in the city of Fairfax and over the telephone. And I offer all kinds of hypnotherapy services,
mm-hmm.
hypnobirthing, the Mongan method, and Conklin method cellular cleansing, and also healing within workshops. I also teach workshops on unstuffing yourself, which is the topic of my book.
Okay.
I actually have two books. One is Beyond Disability, which is about disability and what it means and what it is and what it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, and then which I wrote while I was in the wheelchair. I wrote that in 97. And then a couple of years ago, I wrote Unstuff Yourself, Finding Joy on the Road to Wellness. And one thing I talk a lot about is the place of joy in getting well.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is very important. And I don't mean, you know, what you think is good for you or whatever. I mean what makes you a three-year-old rolling on the floor giggling.
Yes, yes.
Joyful.
Yes. The abandonment of a child.
Yes, just absolutely delightful.
Oh, how lovely.
Delighted. And all of us have something like that. The most abused child I know, the adult who was the most abused child I know, found something.
Mm-hmm.
A moment of being 3 years old and eating a cookie.
Isn't that
on
lovely?
Her grandmother's lap.
Yes. And that is wonderful.
And
that
so we all have something.
Mm-hmm.
In our past. And we can all find something that
and
feels that good.
And we can rediscover that childhood.
Hmm?
That child within. I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
I know it's always a learning journey for me, and I love that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being able to rediscover who I am. We have to wrap up now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you came on board. And
I'm so glad you invited me, Phyllis.
And it was lovely to talk about hypnosis and to share with our audience all the wonderful things that can be done in hypnosis, and I urge them to look into it and ask questions and give you a call.
Absolutely, or pop me an email. That would be fine, too.
Okay.
If they go to my website, they can click
so
on
good.
Email.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. We'll have another guest. I don't know who yet, so it's going to be a surprise. And we will be talking to you and sharing with you. God bless and good night to you all. Nancy, I'll see you and talk to you soon.
Okay, good night.
All, and thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.